Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And if you're going to be taking an end of summer vacation like we are, this might help you out if you're flying a long distance. Marianne has been researching tips on dealing with jet lag.
Yes, we need all the tips we can get. We really need to pay attention to this today because we are going on a trip tonight. I'm so excited. We're going to pick up our Oceania cruise in Iceland, where we're going to meet up with dozens of WGN listeners. I'm super excited. Some of them are just coming because they want to have fun. They want to hang out. They want to get to meet us. Some are celebrating a special occasion like anniversary or birthday. I mean, I'm super excited.
They all want to travel. We take off tonight. We arrive in the morning. So the question is, how do we avoid jet lag and feel good after you fly all night?
Well, the best way, Bob, is to go first class, where you can actually sleep comfortably.
But is right.
Doing that,
no.
That, yeah, those tickets are very expensive. But you know, some people go on miles, you know, and they can do it. I'm always very jealous of them when I walk to the bathroom and I see them all cuddled up in their flat beds. Anyway, jet lag happens when there's a mismatch between your circadian rhythms, which guide the activity of all your cells and your organs, and the time of day at your destination. So, you know, our biological clocks make us creatures of habit, used to sleeping and waking and eating at around the same times every day. So when you cross time zones, your body gets confused and you feel completely out of whack. But there are ways to help yourself.
We need to hear them. What do you got on the list?
Okay, well, here are six ways you can do it. The first one is, it's a little bit too late for us now, but ideally you shift your bedtime before you fly. So like 3 days before you're going to travel east, for example, like we are tonight, moving up your bedtime by about a half hour every night, going to bed earlier, primes your body ahead of time. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better. And sleep experts say that if you're traveling west, reverse the instructions. Go to bed progressively later over the days before your flight. And it's hard because most people find it easier to stay up willfully than to force themselves to sleep when they're not tired. That's what's going to be happening to me on the plane tonight. But, you know, again, obviously, this is all too late for us.
Yeah, so I should have been going to bed at like 4 in the afternoon starting last week.
Exactly, right, something like that. The next one is make your first day count. So if you're crossing lots of time zones, such as, okay, for us flying from Chicago to Iceland, you can maybe step off the plane feeling like a zombie ready for bed before lunchtime. But what you do when you arrive really matters, according to the experts. Light exposure is the single strongest factor regulating circadian rhythms. So if you land, when we land in Iceland, it's going to be in the morning. Try to avoid seeing direct sunlight until early afternoon. So that means wearing sunglasses if you're going to be outside. And even if you're exhausted, resist the temptation to go to the hotel and fall into a deep sleep in the middle of the day, because that only prolongs your jet lag. Mm-hmm. And if you do absolutely need to take a power nap, make it only 20 minutes and no more.
Yeah, there's no way.
Later than 2 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, I take a nap at that point, and I'm going for about 20 hours, not 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the next one is adjust your meal time also. So, you know, sunlight is going to be really key in regulating your circadian rhythms, but think twice about wolfing down airplane dinner that is really in the breakfast zone of your new time zone. So skip also that in-flight cocktail, especially if you're trying to sleep on the plane, because booze disrupts your sleep and it causes you to wake up prematurely when your blood alcohol levels drop.
Yeah, the problem is you get bored and you want to pass the time, so you just, you know, they got the food, so you're going to eat it. But you shouldn't, right?
Especially you're going to eat it. I don't like airplane food.
Yeah, especially they give you a breakfast and, you know, try to keep to your normal eating times, I guess, would be best. All right, what else?
Yeah. Okay, so exercise for energy. The more you move while you're on vacation, the better. I mean, it is tempting to say, oh, I'm on vacation, I'm just going to lounge around. But if you're crossing a lot of time zones, the best thing you can do is do 20 minutes of activity, you know, when you get there. And it's also going to help your digestion, you know, getting back to normal. You know how that goes.
I'm going to start on the plane by, you know, walking up and down the aisle.
Sleep on the plane, Bob. Sleep on the plane. Because we have a very busy day ahead.
Well, I'll do that, too. I will.
Okay, so also be very careful with sleeping pills. A lot of people use sleeping pills on the plane, but that strategy could backfire because doctors say that medication mixed with jet lag-induced fatigue can lead to serious drowsiness, confusion, and disorientation when you wake up.
As you know, because of the job I have, I don't have a problem going to sleep. My only problem is staying awake. So I don't come anywhere near
a sleeping pill ever.
You
do fall asleep. Yeah, the minute you get on the plane, you're already sleeping. I am very jealous of that.
I'm sleep deprived.
The last one is outsource the mental energy. So if all of this sounds complicated, just get on your phone and look it up. There are so many jet lag calculators, like British Airways has one. There's another one called Time Shifter, and they tell you exactly how to prepare for jet lag based on your, you know, personal flight details.
Mm-hmm. So and if anyone wants to get jet lagged with us next year, we will be talking about our next trip soon, Tokyo to Hong Kong. That cruise will be in May.
I am so excited about that. I've never been to Japan, and it has a bunch of stops in Japan. This cruise, we're gonna put out the itinerary. But I mean, like, I think there's an overnight in Tokyo and in Shanghai, and then I think there's an overnight in Hong Kong too at the end. I mean, I'm just so excited about this trip coming up. But first, this one to Iceland and to you know, the Faroe Islands, Scotland, Ireland, and then this one ends up in the UK, and then we're going to spend a few days in London.
And then next month, we'll tell you all about the Oceania cruise. We'd love our listeners to come along on that one next year in May. Meantime, what delicious recipe is on Savvy Planet this week?
Okay, well, I have a recipe for a non-alcoholic drink that is such a hit at parties. I mean, you really literally spent a whole night drinking this. We learned about this when we were having an engagement party for our daughter. And the drink is so pretty. It's bluish, like deep blue or purple in color. And it's super easy to make. I mean, it takes a day, though, because you have to steep the tea leaves. Mm-hmm. But if you're not drinking alcohol, it'll make you feel like you're having a nice cocktail. It's really beautiful. It's a butterfly pea flower tea.
Yeah.
So you've got to see the pictures, and you've got to see, like, how easy this recipe is. Seriously.
I know some people like to add booze to it, Marianne, but this is my kind of drink. Subscribe to Savvy Planet. It's Savvy, S-A-V-V-Y, Planet, and you put a hyphen in the middle there, SavvyPlanet.com. You can get the recipe and all the tasty recipes free to your inbox every week. Okay, Marianne, you want to go to Iceland tonight?
Let's go to Iceland, Bob.
Okay. I'll meet you there.